This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. It's March, so Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this year. There's just nothing like betting in March. Breakdowns of every region and every game. From conference tournaments to the Final Horn, we'll have the picks and the plays on every single game. Cinderella spotlights, upset alerts, and some of that value for the last team standing. It's tourney time, so hunker down and bet the board with us. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is At Home Connecticut, hosted by Joey Burgoyne, highlighting events and happenings that are taking place in your home, Connecticut, on WTIC News Talk 1080.
Good morning and welcome to another episode of At Home in Connecticut. I am your host, Joey Burgoyne, and as many of you know, one of my favorite things in the world is maple syrup. The process, the smells, the taste, all the fun stuff that goes along with it. And right here in our very own backyard up in Burlington, Connecticut, you don't have to go all the way up to Vermont's Burlington. You have a Burlington right here in Connecticut, and LaMoth's Sugar House is one of the greatest in the area. And joining me this morning is Rob LaMoth, who joined his brother and started this adventure many years ago. Thank you for joining me this morning, Rob.
You're welcome, Joe. It's my pleasure.
So maple syrup in Connecticut, it's a big thing. You guys, like, you know, we'll get started with a little bit of your history. Like, how did you and your brother Lenny or Leonard, however you want to go by, just start this process of making sugary gold?
Well, we were into producing most of our own food back in the early 70s, and Leonard came up one day with seven taps. And he says, "Hey, Rob, let's make some maple syrup." I says, "Are you kidding me? I don't know anything about this." So back in 71, there was no Google. We had no resources. Our parents are both French-Canadian, but they never made a drop of maple syrup in Canada.
I think that's illegal nowadays.
Yeah, right. Yeah, socialized. So we went to the library and got a book, and we started reading up on it. And we boiled outside to begin with, just a makeshift fire pit and some flat pans. And we did that for a couple of seasons, and what happened was we decided to build a small sugar house, and at that point, we had a small flat pan, more of an evaporator, and one day, a gentleman walked up from the road, and he says, "Hey," he says, "I see you're boiling some sap." He says, "Can I buy a quart of maple syrup from you?" And at that time, I thought that's all I had made for the whole day, but I ran down to the house, the farmhouse, and I sanitized the ball mason jar. And I sold it to him. He was delighted. So was I. So we got the ball rolling back then in the early 70s, and we kept expanding. And then finally, we bought our first commercial evaporator. And we stayed up in the old sugar house probably a year longer than what we really wanted to. But then in 1988, we built the new sugar house, which is 28 by 60. It's got three floors on it, and we've expanded the showroom. So it's something in your blood. You know, it's something that you want to do. Being French-Canadian, I think there's, you know, when you come out of your mother's womb, you drink Molson beer and you make maple syrup.
And hang sheetrock.
And hang sheetrock, that's right. So that's, you know, how we got started. And then we expand many times. We found out that buckets are, you know, the time-honored tradition, but it takes 3 or 4 hours to empty those buckets out. We only had 350 taps then. So we quickly learned that if we were going to keep going in that right direction, we had to start putting some tubing out in the woods. And it gave us access to trees that we could have never walked that far in the woods to get the sap from. So we started that way. And now, you know, the business has grown over the years. We probably the largest maple sugar house in the state of Connecticut.
Which was cool. Me and my family did the tour the other weekend. We came out to visit you guys when you were doing it. And, I mean, I learned some interesting things, you know, like how you started, the new evaporators. But, I mean, from when you started with a bucket, a tree, and a hammer to nowadays, the technology has just helped immensely.
It has. I mean, we used to drill a 7/16 hole in the tree. put a stainless steel spout in it with a hook, and we'd hang a bucket. Well, you know, those buckets came from Wheeling, West Virginia, and they were double-dip galvanized, and they were soldered with 50-50 lead solder. Now, we don't do that. I mean, we've learned over the years, technology has made food a lot safer, a lot better, and we're making it faster. In our particular case, our new evaporator is all stainless steel. It's all TIG welded. It produces a lot of syrup, about 14 gallons per hour. But before it goes into the evaporator, what we have is a room where we process the sap. If you're going to make a gallon of maple syrup, on an average, you're going to use 43 gallons of sap to make 1 gallon of pure maple syrup. A lot of boiling. It's 98% water, so there's a lot of water that has to be gone up through the cupola. In our case, what we do is we filter all of our sap with a large diatomaceous earth filter. That does about 120 gallons a minute. It goes into an ultraviolet light to kill all of the bacteria. All the bacteria gets killed in a boiling process, but the sooner we kill the bacteria, we're going to have more sugar that's available to us.
Mm.
Here's the workhorse, the reverse osmosis machine.
That thing was
that
cool.
That machine will take the raw sap, and under high-pressure pumps, it'll push the sap through a membrane. And we can get rid of 80% of the water in that sap before we start boiling. So that's a huge energy saver. It really speeds things up, and it lets you expand your operation without having to change your evaporator to a larger one. From there, it goes into stainless steel tanks at the back of the sugar house, and then it comes into the evaporator, and the evaporator now is oil-fired. We don't use wood anymore because we were going through 25 or 26 cords of wood in 6 weeks. You know, and Friday nights, all your friends are around. They're helping you put wood in the fire.
Do you miss that, though? Like, do you miss that a little bit?
No, I don't. No, I'll be perfectly honest. No, I don't miss it at all. You know, it was a lot of work. And the wood had to really be seasoned for a year before you'd use it. You don't want to use wood that was wet or green. So, no, now I flip a switch, you know, get things started. And at the end of the day, when the concentrate runs out, we just flip the switch the other way and we're done.
Mm.
We get a little bit more rest.
Now, I mean, like you had said, it takes a lot. One of the things I thought was interesting is when you were during the open house you had doing the tours the other day on Saturdays, which you guys usually do the tours on Saturdays and Sundays, follow them on Facebook, Lamoth Sugar House on Facebook with all the information. But it was interesting because you talked about everyone's like, oh, maple syrup comes from a maple tree. Yes and no. Like it does, but there's specific maples you should be looking for. So if, you know, if people do want to say there's a maple tree in their backyard and people, I mean, people can experiment it. Go outside, tap a tree in your backyard, get a bucket, and give it a shot. And this way, maybe you'll realize when you go to the store and real Connecticut maple syrup isn't $7 for a gallon for a reason.
No, no.
It takes some work. Like, what trees specifically should people be looking at?
Just, I mean, for an example, I mean, you get somebody that's new to the business, you know, and they want to do some backyard sugaring. Well, you know, I understand that. But, like, in our case, we're looking for sugar maples. Sugar maples are very distinct bark on them, very rough. The tip of the branch looks like a set of praying hands. The lobes on the leaf, there's 5 lobes, and it's usually a brilliant orange in the fall. That's the tree that produces the most sucrose. You can tap a red maple, but here again, too, on a sugar maple, it takes us 43 gallons of sap to make 1 gallon of pure maple syrup. If you tap the soft maple, you got 1% sugar, it's going to take you 86 gallons of sap to make 1 gallon of syrup. And by the time you keep boiling it to get the right density, it's going to be pretty dark, but it can still be done.
Mm-hmm.
There's 23 different types or varieties of sugar or maple trees, and the only ones that we will tap are sugar maples.
That's cool. I thought that was interesting when we were there the other day.
Hmm, it is.
So now, you got this maple syrup, like, where can people, I mean, Lamoth Sugar House is the place to go, but have you've expanded the operation. Has the retail part of it expanded too?
Oh, yeah. We had to, we were very fortunate. We got a grant from the state of Connecticut Department of Agriculture probably in 2008, and we basically doubled the space in our retail sales room. People come out all year long, and it's amazing, Joey. They come from all over the world. You know, I had an airplane pilot He was planning a trip out here in New England in the fall with his wife. He's in Switzerland, and he plans a trip, and we were on his agenda. So it's amazing. We have people from all over. We had Russian judges here one day.
That's awesome.
It's like there was 15 of them. And you know what? We really cater to the customer. We really, the people that take the time, we're a destination. If they take the time to come out here, we really want to make sure that their experience is fun. And the kids love it, too.
And I mean, it's one of those things. It's you kind of are very limited window on when you're actually going to be able to make maple syrup. So to be able to provide a jug of maple syrup in, you know, August or June for someone, because why can't we have it then? Like, how has the season gone this year versus other years? Like, does it change yearly, or like what affects that?
Well, here again, too, the weather affects it. We have to have freezing cold nights and thawing days. So typically, if we get a night down around 20 degrees, a day that warms up by about 40 degrees by noon, the sap is going to run. Then the big sap is going to run. That's me.
You got to go chasing those tubes.
Yeah. So the thing is, what we're looking for is that type of weather. You're not going to get that in June or July. So we've got about a 6-week, maybe an 8-week window to get our whole crop in. So it's very limited. And like yesterday, it ran all day because we haven't had a lot of thawing. This year, it's more of a typical winter. Cold. It stayed cold. The frost went deep. Then we got some snow, which is good because once it melts and the frost starts to dissipate, then we're going to get sap runs that are big. We've just started the season. We've had 4 good runs, and you know, we plan on hopefully go to the end of March for sure.
That's excellent. I mean, that's one of the things. It's, you know, it's a very limited time. People are always like, you know, real maple syrup is expensive, but yes, it takes time, it takes effort, it takes the resources, it takes a lot of planning. Like I said, okay, you got 6 weeks, there's 52 weeks in a year, people, so do the math. There's a lot of sitting around twirling your thumbs hoping that Mother Nature is going to be cooperative this year.
It's a risk, but then again, too, we've been at it for 54 years. We know by virtue of being in business that long, what the weather might be like, how to adapt. And here again, too, there are changes in the weather. This winter, the last 4 winters, you know, people had to tap early because it was thawing at the beginning of February. This year, there was, you know, it was frozen, and the extended forecast just showed it was going to be cold and a lot of, you know, some snow. So we had a little bit more time to get ready this year. But what's really good about that is the fact that the trees were dormant longer. So, say the 3rd week in October till late February, they had an opportunity to take the starch that's in the tree and turn it into sugar longer. So what we're getting right now is a sugar content that's higher than we normally would get.
That's awesome. So being this, you know, the proclaimed maple syrup capital of New England, Burlington, Connecticut, Are you sick of maple syrup yet, or is it just pretty much going everything in the household still?
Nah. No, I enjoy all the different grades. There's golden, there's amber, there's dark and very dark, but they all have a specific place. We have people that come in and, you know, they try different grades of syrup that we have, and some like darker syrup, some people like lighter syrup. So, no, I'm not sick of it, and doesn't seem like our customers are sick of it either.
Well, that's excellent. So if anyone's looking for something to do, again, follow them on Facebook. It's Lamoth Sugar House. They got the tours going on. You can go and shop. They got the little selection of spices and different maple syrups and different sizes, all the different grades, the light to the dark, the ambers, all the fun stuff. Try them all. It's over in Burlington's Lamoth Sugar House. This is Rob Lamoth joining me. Do you have a weird, interesting fact about maple syrup that not everyone knows that we can finish off with?
Well, here again, too, it's a single source food, and it's not taxable.
There you go. I love it.
Just saying.
So, Rob, thank you for joining me today, because it's places like yours and other places in Connecticut that just the economy comes together in a weird way. Agriculture is still big in the state, people. Get out there and enjoy it, because there's things like this right here at home in Connecticut.
You've been listening to At Home in Connecticut, a public service project produced by WTIC News Talk 1080.